Jane.
I'm Sean.
I'm Josh. We're also old enough to get insurance on a van.
I thought that was 28 both of those things.
No, it's 25.
25, dude.
But guess what? Everybody's here this week.
Yay!
I'm back.
No absenteeism.
Yay! Perfect attendance award down the toilet.
No, not for me.
Not for Sean.
Because if you would listen to last week's show, I actually held that card up. I'm just saying. He didn't. He just admitted before we started the show.
I just said I didn't.
That wasn't out of anger. I was just, audience need to know, Josh didn't listen to last week's show.
Don't look back in anger.
I'm not.
Like Noel Gallagher.
Don't walk away in anger.
No.
What was that?
Isn't that the song?
Yeah, okay.
All right. Yeah, we're back. I also occurred to me last week, or after last week, so last week was 24. And
the show?
I made that joke.
You really should listen to that.
We are like the same person.
But it was, if we're doing four shows a month, then it was the 6 month anniversary of Cracking the Spine.
Aww.
What is 6 month anniversary? First anniversary is paper. Second anniversary is wood.
So then the first anniversary would be a half a piece of paper.
Oh.
Fair enough.
Or 6 month anniversary, half a piece of paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Which Zane did not get me.
Yeah, Zane doesn't get anyone presents.
I give out presents like every goddamn week on this show.
That's true. Sometimes they're crappy presents.
Last
like
week
that
it was a really good present.
what was last week?
You gave me that book. The Kate Beaton book.
Oh, right. Yeah, the book we did the dramatic reading of. Yeah, the picture book, which I learned in editing. Picture books, not great for dramatic readings.
Not super great.
Well, they're real short.
Also, the picture tells you a lot of what's going on.
Yeah.
So anyway, Zane, what'd you read this week?
I'm not reading anything this week.
Really?
Really. I didn't get around to starting a book.
Okay.
I still have two or three, I think, that you gave me for vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So there, I honestly don't remember what they are.
Neither do I.
I'm just going to kind of go through them and, like, pick one at random. But, I do have stuff lined up, but I just didn't. You know, some weeks you just can't
sit down. I'm right there with you.
And I couldn't do it this week. I'm the Josh this week.
Wait a minute. I'm the Josh every week.
You were the Josh last week.
No, I
this
wasn't.
Was the Josh last week.
Cartman?
Okay, yeah.
Sure.
Sometimes when I do the voice, I can do it. Okay, so let me do my real Josh voice.
That's pretty good, I guess.
All right.
It's more the cadence than the voice itself.
Yeah. I sound like an idiot.
Well,
maybe I should change the way I talk.
That sounds less like an idiot.
No, it's just my new. It's just my new way.
All right, can you do it with me?
I don't think I can.
I don't think I have a very distinctive voice.
I don't think I have a very distinctive voice.
Touché.
This is fun. I'm having fun.
Hello, it's Zane again.
Oh God.
Josh, are you reading anything this week?
I read a bunch of vet bills. This week?
Yeah, Josh's cat was sick last week.
I'm playing nursemaid to an animal, so I didn't read anything either.
You alluded to Head Full of Ghosts being a bummer. Did you not start that?
I didn't want to start it because I don't want to read bummer stuff.
Oh, while you're bumming out.
While I'm being all sad and stuff.
Okay.
But I'm going to read the Wormhole book.
Yeah.
Peter Klein's The Fold.
Peter Klein's.
Yes.
Not
Ernest Cline, which, by the way, Armada finally came out this week.
How many did you sell? A million?
We got six in, all of them autographed. We haven't sold a single copy. Good job, America.
There is hope.
You're doing
for
it.
Us.
You're doing it.
I mean,
oh boy.
I don't know. Do people around here? They're not really.
There's a few people I know of who are interested in it. Who are going to come in to buy it?
You should just let them steal it.
I'm not gonna do that. Because, you know...
Because he's a bookseller and an ethical one at that.
It's your job, quote.
Yeah. Part of the reason I...
Sean, are you reading anything?
Yes, I am. Thank you for asking. You know, being on a book podcast and all. No, it's fine. I'm still...
Low blow!
I'm still working on The Name of the Wind.
Okay.
But, so the past couple of weeks I've been like, well, it's, you know, it's good, but it's not really grabbing me. Like, it's not doing much for me.
Did it finally grab you?
Like, the night of last week's recording, I started reading it, and there was this chapter that was like, boom. I think I sat and read 120 pages straight.
Oh, wow.
I was like, I'm really into it. So I've only got, like, 200 pages left, so I'll be finished it by next week. It's really, really good. I don't think I'm going to go right into the second one after, because it's a trilogy. I'm going to give it some time, because there's other stuff I want to read. We actually cut a book in about, it's like a horror novel that takes place in a store like IKEA that's called Horror Store.
That sounds awesome.
With umlauts over the O's. Oh, so,
dude, German. I want to read that.
The guy has to read. So IKEA is Swedish, Josh.
They're all the same.
All right, Mr. Trump. Josh, we had a conversation last week, and this, again, it's not a dig, but I know you didn't listen to the show.
Yeah.
But, we wanted to ask you, have you ever gotten into, like, ebooks or, like, reading on a tablet, or are you still, like, an old-fashioned guy?
I'm old-fashioned. I have a shitload, I'm gonna say it, I committed, of books, like, ebooks, though, that I obtained from someone. I'm not against that. Okay. I don't have a tablet. Like, I don't have a Kindle or whatever.
Right.
I wouldn't not read on a Kindle, but I would prefer to read a book. I mean, just the feel of it.
That's pretty much where we came down last week. Like, there's a time and place for each, but your leaning is more toward...
Yeah, I mean, like, I sit at my computer all day, and, like, I don't mind, like, reading at a computer, but...
But it's different,
Wouldn't be my first choice.
It would be, like, how you selected a book.
Right, I wouldn't say, like, oh, I gotta read this. There's something about the cover. It's like CDs or albums or whatever.
Yeah, this almost... Yeah, there's a lot of what we said last week.
Yeah.
The other thing that happened this week is, Harper Lee, author of To Kill a Mockingbird, came out with a new book called Go Set a Watchman. And I was just wondering, I mean, I don't know if you guys are aware of, like, the controversy sort of that's surrounding it and how you feel about it. So basically what happened is Harper Lee had only published one novel in her life.
And she's like 900.
She's 98 years old.
Yoda.
And, you know, it's To Kill a Mockingbird. It's an American classic. It's, you know, it's iconic. It's a film with Gregory Peck, blah, 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 blah.
Atticus Finch.
So, her sister, whose name was April? No, Alice. Alice Lee.
Okay.
Was her sister, and her sister was her sister, and her lawyer and, like, her, not her agent, but, like, her liaison between her agent, because the rumor was Harper Lee would sign anything that was put in front of her, so her sister took really good care of her. So her sister died. And then, like, 2 months later, HarperCollins was like, hey, guess what? We just discovered this unpublished manuscript.
Weird.
So there's talk that maybe, like, Alice knew that this existed but didn't want it to come out because it paints Atticus as potentially a racist character.
So after the success of To Kill a Mockingbird, Alice Lee was like, we got... a gold mine.
We gotta protect. I don't know if it's a gold mine so much as like,
right, but
like integrity, like protecting the integrity of the character. And I'm just wondering how you guys feel about, like, you know, does it? I had a woman come in to buy it this week, and she was like, "Have you heard all about?" And I was like, "Yeah, of course I've heard the controversy." She was like, "I have to give my dog a new name now." And I was like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "My dog's name is Atticus. I have to change it."
I think we kind of touched on this in the episode where we talked about, like, who owns a story
exactly,
and. Like, I feel very strongly that if this was, and we also, like, when did she actually write this?
The account is it was written before To Kill a Mockingbird.
So, like, this was always the intended arc for that character.
That's great, then.
Well, like, it's her character, ultimately. This is her story, and, like, if this is the way that she envisioned him, it's... I can see why people would be upset that a much beloved character suddenly turns out to be someone somewhat detestable.
Well, they're worried that apparently... So Harper Lee had a stroke in 2008, so that's, what, 7 years ago, and is apparently blind and deaf now. So they feel like HarperCollins just sort of...
railroaded her.
Exactly, we're publishing this. Yeah. And, like, you know, we sold 100 copies in 3 days. Like,
well, I think if there's anything to be upset about, it's the fact that, like, what maybe should have been an unpublished story went and got published.
Right.
Like, I saw some authors on Twitter and stuff talking about how, like, they all have unpublished manuscripts and they're happy that they're unpublished and, like... You know, like, stuff like that. Like, there's stuff that they decided wasn't good enough for release. And if that is what happened, that's something to be upset about. But, again, like, especially if she didn't recently write this character specifically to elicit this kind of response or gain this kind of press or whatever. Like, if this was written even before To Kill a Mockingbird came out, and, like, this was her intention for the character all along, and we kind of have to live with that as the consumers.
Okay.
Would you... Okay, so, like, if you named your dog, like, Abraham Lincoln, would you have to rename your dog because before, like the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln was like, it's okay to have
that's,
slaves.
Like, it's weird to me that that's like where we draw the line. It's like, well, my dog is named after this character. Like, I don't know what you want me to say about it.
I just think that that's a great, I like that. Because people are human.
Well, that's actually been my reaction to a lot of customers. Yeah. I'm like, listen, I actually think it's kind of good because it gives them more depth. It gives them, like, it's a more fleshed out, instead of just this, like, one-dimensional, like a character in a painting, you know what I mean? Instead, now he's, like, he's a little more real. He's a little more of his time.
It makes To Kill a Mockingbird better because that's his, like, finest hour. Like, all of that leading up to that moment is him, you know, either deciding or, you know, choosing to be like a hero of justice, of like racial tolerance.
Equality.
Why would that detract from a make-believe character? I don't know why.
Why didn't we spend the whole time on it?
We have a lot of trouble. I don't know if it's in this country or just like worldwide. We have a lot of trouble accepting characters that aren't perfect.
Right.
Like, we have a very hard time with characters that mess up, and we're like, I don't agree with that. So we weren't characters
that's
make
the point.
Mistakes
right.
like they are imperfect.
It humanizes them.
Like that's what you were saying, and I think that this maybe is just a case of that, of like people being upset that
someone
they perceived as perfect is no longer perfect.
If they like manipulated an old blind and deaf lady to like make money off of her, all right, I can see why that would be a problem.
Again, like if we're gonna be upset about something,
right,
it's that
that's
I'm not
what,
upset
right.
with how
with the character
with
itself
the character's
but the way that it was revealed,
right,
maybe.
If that
yeah.
is the case,
yeah,
right.
Okay, all right, cool. Again, like I said, that's not really the conversation this week, and you guys,
it is now.
I didn't give you guys any time to prep on it. I just wanted, it's like
we
the topic
okay.
of, it's the topic of this day, so I just wanted to bring it up, but let's take a little break, and when we come back we can get into what we wanted to talk about this week. Which you'll find out right after this.
Winding and long, it goes on and on, but I can't remember the song. And I know we...
Hey, thanks for thanks for listening. If you're listening, maybe rethink your life decisions. But also, if you're listening on iTunes or Android, do us a favor and rate us. 5 stars would be great. Write a review. And you can also find us on Podomatic, crackingthespineshow.podomatic.com. You can catch us on Twitter. We are at Cracking Spine. We are on Facebook, like everybody. And you can email us. We are crackingthespineshow@gmail.com. So get at us.
I thought we were at .org.
No, we're .com.
Welcome back to episode 25 of Cracking the Spine. I am still Josh.
I'm still Zane.
I'm once again Sean.
And this week, we're talking about fantasy books.
Which should be pretty close to home for you, Josh, since you do an inordinately popular podcast called Fantasy Fiction. I was
rude.
Inordinately means very popular. I was being completely serious.
It sounds like you meant it shouldn't be popular.
Yes, that is
no,
what it
inordinately
like.
Means it means really popular. You know what? I'm going to get the dictionary definition. I will get the dictionary definition after the break, and then you guys will see. And then you'll all see.
I mean, I'm just saying, I'm picking up on your context clues, and it sounds like you're saying it shouldn't be that popular. But it is!
No, what I'm saying is your show is immensely popular.
Oh, thank you.
You could have just said that.
Thank you.
Why? I meant inordinately.
He did. He meant it,
God,
shouldn't be.
Damn it. All right, let's take a break. No. Anyway, fantasy genre.
Weirdly enough, I don't read a lot of fantasy.
Really?
I've only ever read The Hobbit, really, and some, I don't know, Star Wars books. That's kind of fantasy, right? Star Wars is fantasy.
Straddles the line, I think.
Here's what
Go ahead.
Think is interesting about fantasy is that unless it is, like, high fantasy.
Yeah.
I guess you would call it low fantasy. So often, like, could be mistaken for science fiction or just speculative fiction.
Yeah.
Well, how do you, how would you delineate between high and low?
Well,
magic staves.
I did a little bit of research because I was curious to know where we draw the line. Because to be fantasy is, it's one of those things, like, you know fantasy when you see it.
It's like porn.
But it's like porn. Like, you know it when you see it, but otherwise, like, how do you define it? I kind of feel like it's that way, but apparently what makes something high fantasy is that it takes place in a secondary world.
All right.
So it doesn't take place in the primary or real world has like magical elements to it. It takes place in a totally separate world.
That makes sense.
However,
whose definition is that? Just out of curiosity. Or is that just like that's like generally the
definition that I found online. Hmm. I mean, you know, thank you, internet. But
you know. Our blessing and our curse.
But I think that like there's a lot of books out there that sort of take place in like mostly in a secondary world, but still have some sort of like frame of reference for our primary world. And that's where I think it starts to get confusing. We're like, where do you draw the line and call something strictly fantasy? And I only bring this up because like Josh brought up Star Wars.
Right.
Which I think normally would be considered science fiction.
I always considered it fantasy.
See, I mean, not that this counts, but we keep it in the sci-fi section of the bookshop.
Yeah.
I think of it more as a science fiction thing. I think because of the element, I think, seriously, it's the element of space. It's the element of interstellar travel that makes it, even though it's not at all, there's nothing scientific about the travel or the physics in Star Wars. It doesn't have to be real
science.
But it's, yeah.
I go off of the themes more, so, like, obviously in Star Wars, like, Artemis and Apollo or Luke and Leia, like, when we're talking about, like, really old mythology being put into a story, I always think fantasy more than whatever, like, science fiction in Star Wars is sort of like a MacGuffin to tell a fantasy story.
Right, yeah.
I always... Even when I was a little kid, I was like, this is a fantasy. This is swords and knights and magic. It's freaking magic in there. Yeah. Know? But, like, I don't know. Like, I always pictured Star Wars being more about the themes of, like, mythology and not science. Like, Star Trek for me was science fiction because that was about, like, human beings in space doing science.
Right.
Right.
That's science fiction.
Because, like, for me, it's like, I guess, you know, like you, Josh, my intro to fantasy was The Hobbit. Like,
yeah.
I feel like everybody's intro to fantasy is probably The Hobbit. So that sort of, like, set the bar for me. Like, The Hobbit, and then later, not much later, but shortly after that. No, I was going to say Dungeons & Dragons.
Oh, okay.
Like, playing D&D.
Right.
Which, they like, you see so many, like, parallels to. Because Dungeons & Dragons obviously borrowed very heavily from other people's mythologies. But, like, so for me, it's more like... Now, when I start saying these things, I'm already hearing it in my head. It's Star Wars. It's... Mm. It's swords, it's other races, it's other languages, it's...
world building.
It's some element of, not necessarily, it doesn't have to be magic, like abracadabra, like Harry Potter magic, but some sort
fate,
of...
The idea of fate.
Some sort of larger power, like what we would think of as religion, but with evidence, you know what I mean? Like the Force, or like... the Dark Shadow, or the wizards in Lord of the Rings, or... a great series, The Gentleman Bastards by Scott Lynch, which is one of my favorite fantasy series of all time. The first book is called The Lies of Loch Lomora, and if you're listening to this and you haven't read it, you should start reading it right now.
I have to do this podcast.
Well, you can do two things at once.
God, no, I can't.
Oh, you can.
He can't.
But there's this substance in it, it's called Elderglass.
Okay.
And it's all over the world, and it's like... It's beautiful, and it's all these different colors, and at night it glows, but no one...
Mana. It's mana.
But no one knows where it came from, and it can't be broken or, reshaped. Like, so it's like this, like, idea that, like, at some point in the way distant past of this world, there were larger beings, like, almost godlike figures that walked the earth. Like, that's the kind of stuff...
Again, very Greek
mythology. Yeah, definitely, yeah.
You know, in my mind, that's where a lot of that stuff comes from, where you're talking about... You know, the Minotaur, which is just, like, a monster. He's just a monster. Yeah. You know, it's all very Greek mythology. I don't know. I think we live sort of, like, in a weird time now where, like, this stuff is so popular. But, like, it's kind of going back, like, with... You know, I know we talk about Game of Thrones a whole lot on this show.
It's been a while, actually.
But Game of Thrones is very, like... middle of the road high fantasy.
Yeah.
They kind of want you to be like, well, this is just like how it was. Because it's also an allegory for like the British monarchy and the War of the Roses.
Well, it's high fantasy with tits and ass is what ends up happening. I mean, that's how they sell it to the masses. Is it like, there's a lot of naked girls and there's a lot of blood.
Well, and like
there's
a
naked girls?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. There's a lot of butts in that show.
We'll see you next week.
I think, like, the thing about Game of Thrones is that they try very hard to, or he tries very hard to sort of keep magic and, like, magical elements just slightly out of reach. Yeah. And they do sometimes bleed into the world, but mostly, like, you spend a lot of time, like, thinking about the dragons, but less time maybe actually being with them.
Right.
And that's, like, the most magical thing in the world until we, you know, start seeing, like, the White Walkers and stuff. But for a long time, it stays just outside of our reach.
Which is what's great about that show, because when you see it, you're like, oh, my God!
But I think, like, even though it takes place in a strictly secondary world and everything, like, that's kind of almost what keeps it from being high fantasy.
Yeah.
Like, it's not...
You mean the separation of magic from the world?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you lived... I mean, if you lived in a world that had magic in it, you would assume... I always thought that there would just be people who would want to know about that magic. And that's what always bothered me about Lord of the Rings is there's five wizards, right? And only these five wizards, like, know this magic stuff? Like, why aren't there people...
No one else gives a fart.
Why isn't it people like, hey, man, I want to learn about some freaking magic?
Because it... I mean, not to push my nerd glasses all the way up, but it's not something they learned. It's something they are.
They are, right.
And you can't, you know, you can't learn to be something that you're not. I mean, I'm just saying, you asked.
I wanted...
There's always an answer when it comes to Lord of the Rings. I'm just saying.
The man created a pretty, like,
pretty
tightly
detailed.
Packed universe.
Speaking of world building.
When I was growing up, like, I watched a crap load of fantasy movies, which is where I get all of my love of fantasy from. Like, Conan... anything. Crawl. I'll watch anything with fantasy in it. I love it. I love fantasy.
And you just love the tropes.
I love the tropes, and I love the idea of how simple it is. It's so, like, heroes, bad guys, go on a journey. Yeah, awesome. Like, that's great.
Actually, speaking of heroes, when you were talking about before, Zane, when you were talking about how, like, the Lord of the Ring, Game of Thrones does that really good job of keeping magic just on the periphery. It reminded me of that television show, Heroes.
Yeah.
Which apparently they're rebooting. And the problem...
Is it just the first three seasons again?
I always had with Heroes, it's the first. The problem I always had with Heroes was that everybody on that show, all the people you ever focused on that show, were superheroes.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's that idea, like, if everyone in your world has magic, does it matter? Like,
it's not so magical anymore.
It's not so magical anymore. Like, the reason we love Superman is because Superman is one amongst billions.
Right. He's the one.
He's the only one. Yeah. I mean, eventually, you know, like, Wonder Woman shows up and then they fight Batman in that movie for reasons. But, like...
Because robot suits.
So,
someone needs to be stopped!
The successes, I think, are the ones that, like, give that distance and that, like, illusion of, like, it's not always attainable.
You need to have, I think, like, you, Zane, like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And I think why Harry Potter works so well is because Harry Potter is the fish out of water. And everybody loves that because everybody relates to that.
Well, it gives you a tour guide through the world. So when he sees, you know, like, the inside of their magical tent for the first time and he, like, can't believe it. You're right there with him. which is, like, that's a very common way to tell a story is, you know, like, to give you a tour guide.
Yeah, I think Aragorn is like that, where he's just a guy, and then he's like, you know, gonna learn how to ride the dragon.
I tried to read those
books. I think I read that first book, but I honestly don't remember.
I gave up on that book, and actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to talk about that tonight. I don't know if you guys know the comic XKCD.
Yeah.
XKCD did a comic that was, it was actually talking about Neal Stephenson's Anathem, and it was like a graph, and it was basically, like, the conclusion was... The more words you invent for your novel, like for your fantasy world, the less likely your world is to be successful.
Right.
And Aragorn was like, I think that book had a glossary. Like, there were umlauts over consonants in some of those words. And it was like, nope.
I feel that way about World of Warcraft. I played World of Warcraft for years, and there's a whole community of, like, lore lovers.
Right.
And now they're getting their movie now. So now they're going to get to live in their World of Warcraft.
And they're all going to love it.
And they're all going to love it. And it doesn't matter how good or bad it is. But, like, when I was doing, like, when I was playing World of Warcraft, I never gave a crap because of that reason. I couldn't read some of the words. Yeah. They're just ridiculous. Yeah. I'm like, I don't know what that is.
While I was researching
it doesn't take away from your joy to not do it.
While I was researching for this show, I found a couple of articles that basically talked about what makes bad fantasy.
Right.
And that was one of the things, was, like, too many made-up words. That's a really big one. And the other one was having your characters speak in, like, what you feel is... like a medieval dialect. Yeah,
yeah. Like that faux Shakespearean, yeah, using exactly. thous and these, yes. and sts, like, on that, the end of your verbs.
That just immediately takes you out of it. It feels so fake. And it, honestly, reading these articles, I wish I should have written them down so I could cite them, but they were really interesting.
Just
and,
say that you made them up.
I wrote them myself.
There you go.
And
it's true. I believe her. I don't know why, but I do.
I said it on the internet. It must be true. Sean's making a skeptical face. He doesn't believe in me.
He's making an
I believe in you.
Case.
I just don't believe you.
Anyway, it gave me a respect for how difficult it must be. Not only, I mean, I obviously we've talked about this before. I have great respect for anyone who does, like, world building and their writing.
Yeah, yeah.
But it must be so hard to write believable fantasy, especially because Josh and I were talking about this before the start of the show. Fantasy is very often considered for children.
Yeah.
Well, it's stigmatized. I mean, it's certainly when I was, I mean, you know, back in my day, like, it was, you know, that, like, archetype of the D&D nerd living in his parents' basement.
Comic books, same thing.
Right, yeah. Like, you know, I don't know if that stigma exists anymore. I feel like it does. I don't know. I don't know what stigmas exist, in, like, if for reading anymore for kids.
Yeah.
Because, like, I sell a lot of different things to a lot of different kids. Like, cheerleaders are buying, like, Aragon, like, which would never have happened when I was in high school.
Right.
Yeah, I think some of those barriers have been broken down. But I do still think that, again, in my research for this show, I was reading about how after Alice in Wonderland came out, everyone just assumed that all subsequent fantasy should be marketed towards children, that it was a children's genre. Right. And so when they released, like, The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, they marketed it strictly to children because they were like, well, it's just like Alice in Wonderland, isn't
it? It's just a fairy tale.
Right. And I still think that sometimes that stigma still exists. Like, even if it's not for children, it's childish.
Right. Yes.
You know, like it's for, like a man-child, you know?
I agree with that. I think there's still that stigma of, like, it's not a serious work of art.
Yeah.
And publishers aren't doing themselves much favors in that regard, because a lot of the cover, like, if you look over at the fantasy section, a lot of the covers are, like, there's the same as they were back in the 70s. Like, it's a buff dude standing at the top of a mountain overlooking a tented army with a sword in his hand. Or it's a hot chick in a metal bikini with a dragon's head coming in from the side. They're still doing that. Even though, like, I feel like the worlds have gotten better. The writing has gotten
better.
But, yeah, like, it's still, like, if you take that book up to the counter, it's that thing we were talking about last week of, like, you know, if the guy working at the counter doesn't know the genre, he's just going to assume that it's, like,
a bodice ripper.
Basically, a bodice ripper that takes place with dragons.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of the fun. And I know, like, on fantasy fiction, we make fun of that a lot. Sean's just like, I can't believe it.
No, I'm listening to your story.
I think that that's part of the fun for me is, like, how ridiculous that is.
Yeah.
And it's okay to, like that and to say, like, okay, that's completely ridiculous. And that's why we like fantasy is because we don't, that doesn't, it's not real,
right?
Like, obviously,
right?
People don't walk around in metal bikinis yet.
Thanks, Obama.
Obamacare. But, you know, like,
Obamacare doesn't cover my metal bikini.
Your metal bikini doesn't cover much. Chill!
All right.
Oh, the klaxons are back after a 2-week hiatus.
But I don't know. I think that that's what's fun about fantasy. That being said, there is good fantasy and there is shitty fantasy.
Absolutely.
And maybe for the dramatic reading tonight, we can see if we can learn the difference.
Oh, we'll see.
But Yeah, I'm sure there's somebody out there that likes fantasy fiction because Josh brought a lot of listeners over with him when he came. So
listen to both shows. You can have everything you wanted.
I don't know. Like, Zane, did we miss anything?
Well, I mean, no, we really didn't. I sort of made a list of...
Zane takes copious notes.
She writes like a tiny mouse.
I am a tiny mouse.
Look at how freaking small your words are.
I wrote down a bunch of, like, well-known fantasy
books. Name them off. Let's see.
Well, actually, the one that kept coming up that I was like, yeah, I guess, is, like, The Wizard of Oz.
Various
stories, which I was like, yeah, all right. I think is kind of an interesting, even though there's a witch in it, I think it's kind of an interesting example of something that's not medieval.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's like, why, like, when you said it, I was like,
medievalist literature? Yeah.
Because that's
part of what I was interested in when I was preparing for the show was like, okay, but what isn't medievalist fantasy? Like, what are the examples of something modern or something totally different? Well, that's why I wanted to talk about stuff like that, like
The Wizard of Oz, like I don't know if I could consider The Wizard of Oz like a fantasy novel because I'm so taken aback by the, like, overriding, like, Depression era symbolism.
There's so much symbolism.
Like the scarecrow with no brain is the farmer.
The gold road.
The tin man, you know, is industry. He needs all your oil. Yeah, the lion is leadership. He doesn't have a heart. Like,
right.
I don't know. Like, it's very...
It's sort of a bridge between a fairy tale and a fantasy.
I feel like it's
like, if you stick to...
The River Kwai.
If you stick to, like, the rules of what makes fantasy fantasy, which would be...
The Cider House Rules?
The Cider House Rules. Tobey Maguire?
I hate that movie.
Tobey Maguire?
I've never seen that movie.
Oh, okay.
He's in it.
Okay, all right. Just checking. Something that uses, like, magic and supernatural phenomena as...
There's magic
primary
in it.
Elements and stuff. Like, that's...
All right.
I mean, we're talking about Wizard of Oz.
Kept
coming up on lists of, like... well-known fantasy novels, and I was like, I guess that's right.
Yeah. I think some of the other, and I've never read The Wizard of Oz or the other books. I know there are other
Wizard of Oz series. Yeah.
I think the other ones are a little more fantasy-y. I think they kind of get into depth of, like, what's going on. And
yeah, well, it's like the lore of that world. Yeah.
Right, right, which, I don't know, I never got into The Wizard of Oz all that much. I think for the same reason that you said, it's sort of just like, well, this is sure from 1938.
Yeah, exactly. The movie is so, like, you know, it's so wiped out any possibility of ever seeing anything else. Like, you could never get away from the pictures in your head of what they made that movie.
So iconic, it's a detriment to itself.
Well said,
Yeah.
Like, that's it.
So, I mean, obviously, like, Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings, I kind of put Harry Potter with a question mark.
I'd say Harry Potter's fantasy, right. I mean, just because it's, you know, specifically marketed to kids doesn't make it any less fantasy.
No, it's just, it's sort of, you know, like, magic is obviously at the forefront of those novels.
There's a sword.
There is a sword.
They fight ghosts.
Yeah.
Werewolves, fantasy.
Yeah. There's giants, dude.
Giants,
fantasy.
I just, because it's one of those examples, it's not really high fantasy, so because it takes place in the primary world, but it's like in a secondary world.
It sort of cheats that.
It's like a mirror world. Yeah.
I guess we could call it low fantasy.
Mid. We'll call it mid.
Mid.
I like mid.
Last Unicorn.
Oh yeah.
What's the Last Unicorn?
It's a book about a unicorn, dude.
Yeah, man. Last Unicorn.
Like Legend. Like the
Did
movie
you ever
Legend.
See that movie?
No. Oh, is that a cartoon movie?
Yeah.
Never saw it. Oh, would like to see it.
You should. It's really good.
Maybe I will steal it. I mean, get it.
Stardust.
Stardust is cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Dark Tower series, which I also put down with a question mark.
It's sort of that same, like, Harry Potter thing.
Yeah.
Like
low fantasy, mid fantasy,
even more like.
I would
horror
science fiction
tending toward
fantasy. Well, and
that's
again, like, this was what fascinated me was that, like, when you read the rules, quote unquote, of fantasy, it says, like, they should stay away from horror or macabre and stuff like that. But I feel like they overlap so frequently that it is kind of hard to define. It's hard to put hard and fast rules on what is fantasy and what isn't.
What about, what's his name?
Jim Carrey?
I'm sorry.
He was flailing his arms around.
I'm sorry. The
Walt Whitman.
Cthulhu.
H.P. Lovecraft.
That's usually considered straight horror.
That's straight horror.
But again, there's like that he created his own mythology.
That was my Cthulhu.
The tentacles. I get it. I'll take like a vine of you doing that later. But like the, it's just I feel like there's so much overlap. It is hard to define. Like you could say that it's swords and orcs and stuff like that, but I think it's hard to nail down exactly what fantasy is because there are fantasy elements in so much fiction.
One of my favorite things about it is that it's so human. It's like the most human stories, even though it's the most ridiculous. Yes.
Well, it gives story. Us, it's that thing you were saying before about the Greek thing. It gives us the ability to cut right to the meat of what it is that we're trying to tell. You know, you can make these archetypical characters.
Yeah.
You know, it's the Joseph Campbell hero with a thousand faces thing. They really are like.
I'm a sucker for that shit. Like, I love, like, just. Like, let's go.
And yet
let's
you don't read it.
I don't read it because I think I don't read it because I don't care about other people's version of fantasy so much unless it's really good. Like, I really like Game of Thrones. Conan's great. I love a lot of fantasy stuff, but I don't want to read, like, just some random. I don't want to get involved. I would rather not do that.
You need to read Eliza Locke Lamora. You need to read The Lies of Locke Lamora too, Zane.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
I'll actually read it.
She will.
Boom.
Yeah. Worst klaxon. I can't even do it. I'm the worst.
The worst.
All right. I think that's good. Take a little break on my klaxons. We'll be right back. Episode 25. That's episode 5 squared of
Good
Cracking
call.
The Spine, right? The first squared episode since episode 16.
Wow.
Our next one will be 36. Math is fun with friends.
Inordinately.
Okay.
Not within proper or reasonable limits. Excessive.
That sounds condescending.
It still sounds a little condescending.
To me, from if I said that your show is excessively popular, that's condescending?
Yes.
Yeah, a little. Excessively? It would imply that, like, it doesn't need to be that successful.
It doesn't need to be. It just is.
I think I understand.
It needs to be more popular.
I understand how you used it, and I agree that maybe you didn't
mean
use it
that
incorrectly.
Way. I will forgive you for that.
But it still came off like you were a big butt.
I should also mention that the first part of the dictionary definition was archaic. Because it's not used much anymore.
That's true. It isn't.
Now
and
we know why.
Be.
Because apparently when
no
you use it
I mean.
As a compliment, people think you're an ass.
Well.
Yeah.
Now you
or
know.
Or you're just a butt.
Which is less than an ass.
It's the same thing.
It's like mild.
We're
mild
playing semantics ass. Again, huh? Mm-hmm.
Well. All
right. So a lot for you guys to weigh in on this week. The Harper Lee thing. And
oh, yeah, we talked about that.
We're back on Ernest Cline.
So long ago.
At some point, we're going to have to do that Armada show.
We have to get Zane
to
read the book.
It.
Drag our face through that broken glass that is that
damn
book.
It's so bad. Guys, what if I read it and I like it?
Well, you're not my friend anymore.
I guess that'll make for interesting conversation.
I guarantee you,
will I
you
get,
will
I probably will not, but will I get, like, thrown off the show?
No.
Yeah, you...
That's a yes in disguise.
No, it's
Let's
no.
Let's not agree to anything. Let's have her sign some stuff first.
We'll see.
No, we
won't. All
right.
You're
not
going
to like
it.
There's no way.
Probably not.
There's no way.
All right.
We'll see.
All right. So make sure you stick around for a dramatic reading, a fantastical reading. Maybe Josh will break out his fantasy fiction tones if he has the copyright permission to do so.
I can do some Reese's.
I don't want to get into any of your, non-disclosure or non-compete clauses.
Non-compete, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't own my own voice.
You might not.
Might not.
Probably don't.
Right?
It's like iPhones.
I was going to say, it's like your new, it's like your new music app.
Yeah.
Sorry, not yours anymore.
It's not yours.
But you can subscribe to ours.
You're welcome that we gave this to you.
Did you hear her just say, oh boy, as though she's not the one that brought it up tonight when we were talking about it?
Yeah, she was the one complaining about it, and now it's us, I guess.
Didn't know that meant that I had to talk about it at length.
I guess you don't, because we can close the show on that.
Boom!
Thanks for listening. We'll talk more next week.
I guess.